Amen. Well, good morning. Oh, I tell you, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, I don't know how people make it without God. I really don't know. I mean, honestly, they don't. They don't make it. Because God is the only one, people. God is the only one. Almost went to children's church. They were having cookies and donuts. And I said, well, we got to all go. Okay. Yeah, excuse me. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. Commercial break. Amen. No. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I count it an honor to be in front of you today. I know I'm your pastor, but I count it an honor to be able to speak before you and give what I feel God has given me to you. Always remember, Jelaine and I, we love you. We appreciate you, and we thank God for you. And we want the best for you. We want the best, the best. So if you would, let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. To my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know how beautiful that is to see everybody's Bible up when you have so many churches that don't even want you to bring their Bible, your own Bible? That's a shame. It's a shame. You know, we cry out. I tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord was just so evident this morning, still just prevalent in this place. But I tell you what, you know, we talk about our country and to next Sunday is July 4th. I'll be talking a little bit about our country and how we need to pray and seek the Lord and ask God for mercy. But I tell you what, maybe even more on how we need to pray and ask God for mercy upon the church house because of all the things that are happening within the walls of a church building that does not give praise and honor to the King. You know, Jesus got mad one day as he walked into, it's supposed to be the place of sacrifice and worship. And he walked in and they were selling things. And, you know, and you might say, well, you know, they were selling stuff and doing all kinds of stuff, selling birds and they were selling all that stuff. And he got in there and he got so mad because he said, my house will not be a place of money changers and all that stuff, but my house shall be called a place of prayer. Because you see, a place of prayer is where the heart is changed. You know, you can't go before God with a stony heart or a heart that's hard before him, because when you end up in the end, your heart's going to become soft with him. You can't go to God with envy in your heart, because in the end, if we do, God will take that out of us. We can't go to God with unforgiveness in our hearts. We do sometimes, but in the end, the great result of it, because of praying and seeking God, that he takes that out of us and gives us a love and for that individual that maybe did whatever happened. You see, that's the place of prayer. Now you might say, well, is there anything wrong with, you know, selling stuff at church? I said, well, you know, that's up to the pastor. I mean, you know, it should always be a place where church is to give what God has given unto the people. You know, God gave what? His son. So we are to give his son Jesus to the world. My God, that should be the utmost thing. Praise the Lord. And doing everything we can to honor him, to praise him, and to adore him. Well, I sure hope everybody had a good week this week. Nobody's came in their boat this morning, I see. There's so much rain, my Lord, every day. But you know what? We just thank the Lord for what happens and we go on. And so, but I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, please. It'd be page 2075. 2075. Any questions about next week, guys? The 4th of July stuff? No? Okay, good. As you turn to the book of Philippians, in this book, Paul is writing to the church there, the church in Philippi. You have to remember, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, those were actual churches, people. You know, I want you to know that. You know, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was actual men that wrote, you know, by the Spirit of God. But Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, all those were actual churches that Paul wrote to encourage them, to help them. Some, you know, some were doing good and some were not doing well. But he had to go in and correct some things. So these are actual letters. Like if you would write a letter to someone and mail it, you'd write them a letter. He wrote these letters under the inspiration, not just because he wanted to write the letter, but he wrote these letters under the inspiration and unction of the Spirit of God. Amen. That's the difference. That's why this book is the difference. If you don't have this book in your church, well, what's going on now? You know, hey, look, nowadays there's the phones, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to have some kind of word that has to be upon your lap to make sure that the pastor and the preacher and the whatever is being said is right. Amen. You see, God says that we are to divide the word of God. We need to make sure that it is actually saying what it's supposed to say. That whoever's preaching to us and giving out that word, that it is saying what is implied. Now, sometimes you have a scripture that could mean two different things. You know, there's some things that, you know, it could be this or that, you know, some things. But I mean, rightly dividing the word of truth. Getting that word inside of you and I, so that that word will become alive unto us, that we will live that word, and that word will become alive unto us, unto our spirit man, and that it will show us how to live. Amen. That's why you have so many Christians that don't know how to live. I'm not saying they're not Christians. That, you know, Christian means Christ-like. They gave their hearts to the Lord. They're born again, you know. But they still have that sin nature in them that rises up, and they don't know how to conquer that thing. Well, you know what? We can't conquer it, but we can conquer it through what Jesus did at Calvary's cross because of the love of the Father towards us. We need to get in that word, people, and let it become alive unto you. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I'm reading and I don't understand. I understand that. But I tell you what, stop. When you don't understand what's going on, stop. And say, bow your head before God. And say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this, but help me. You have to remember, this word was written under the inspiration of the power of the Spirit of God. So it's going to take the Spirit on the inside of you that God has rejuvenated and brought back to life because it was dormant and dead. That's why we have to be reborn. To understand the word, we have to let the Spirit of God help us by the Spirit to understand. That's why we can read a scripture and we think, well, we got it. We know what we're talking about here. And all of a sudden, the next day, you get it, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God shows you something else. Thank the Lord for his wisdom. Thank the Lord that he gives us understanding by the Spirit of God. But in Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 13. It says, For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Nobody said, oh my, or oh me. Ouch. I understand. A lot of times when I'm preparing, I say, oh Lord, ouch here. Forgive me. I mean, you know, really, you know, because, you know, but it, thank God the word keeps us in line. That's what it's supposed to do. But it says in the first part, it says, for it is God which works in you. This refers to the Holy Spirit who energizes the saint, making him not only willing, but also actively desirous of doing God's sweet will. For it is God which works in you. When you got saved and you gave your heart to the Lord, it was God that was working. Remember this, God works in you. Look, nobody here is perfect. Nobody here is perfect. There's only one perfect one, you know. But I tell you what, it's God that works in us. And we have to be patient with him and with others, letting the Spirit of God work on the inside of us. It's not easy. It's not easy when you're studying and you're reading and you're just worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God points out a certain area in your heart or in my life. Huh? Your heart or your life or my heart, my life. But thank God, because he's working in us. You know, when we have a bad attitude, it's the Spirit of God that has to point it out and say, hey man, check it in. Get it right before him. You know, it's his job to work in us. You see, we think, well, we're our own. No, we're not. We are God's. And we need the Spirit of God to work in us for his good pleasure. You see, he's working in us to get us to a place where he can use us in whatever capacity or whatever way that he wants to use us. You see, sometimes we think, well, God can't use me. Well, maybe not right now. You know, I don't know. But for whatever part, but God is working in you and I to get us to the place where he can use us to do the things that he calls us to do. You know, somebody that just gets saved, I'm sure, you know, God may call him into ministry, but God's going to have to work in him a lot of stuff, or her, to be able to get up and preach that gospel uncompromisingly, to do what God calls them to do. But God can speak to every one of our hearts to help one another, to give some money to help somebody, to buy some food for somebody, whatever it is. But God is working in us. We got to be patient and kind with one another, letting the Spirit of God move. You know, the scripture talks about overlooking the faults of people. Thank God. Sometimes we don't want to overlook. We want to point out. And we've all been there. So I'm not talking to the choir. I'm talking to everybody and me. See, we got to learn that God overlooks. God says for us to overlook, but God will take care of those things as they stay upon that surgery table and letting God move upon them. Now, I'm talking about somebody that's willing. You might have somebody that's not willing. That's a whole different story. For the church, whole different story. God handles those things. But you see, God's working, people. You know, we should never think, well, you know, I've made it. No, you haven't. Just talk to a few people at home and we'll see. both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Thank the Lord that He's working in us to do His good pleasure. That He's not just working in us just to show us off. And it's, He can do if He wants to, just like Job. Okay? Remember Job when Slewfoot went to Job and wanted to do whatever. And finally God just set the limit is don't take his life. You hear me, boy? That means God is in control.
Amen.
Let me tell you, God is in control of every aspect of your heart and your life as you surrender it to Him, even down to the point of what the enemy can do to you. Don't we want to serve that God that He cannot overstep His boundaries at all? Because He has to give an account to our God for everything that He does. Hallelujah! That old Slewfoot can't walk into your home and take and do and steal from you. But God sets up the standard. Because God is working. And sometimes God will allow things to come our way, because that's the only way He can get our attention. You know? And we want the attention of our God. We want to do the will of our Father. Because He is in control. And we know wherever God is, we want to be. We want to be where God is. We want to be where God's moving. We want to be where the anointing and the presence of Almighty God is. We don't want to be where God's not. Like Jonah running away. We don't want to. Oh. You know, that's every day. Once, twice, three times, every day. But that's okay. God is still in control. God is still. So here we see. Let's go on. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is the Holy Spirit that now works in us to bring about the will of the Father in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit that is working in us. The Holy Spirit. To bring the will of the Father in our lives. See, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father. Three different entities, yet working as in perfect unity. It's something that we can't even imagine, the perfect unity they have. Because there's no perfect unity upon the earth. So we don't know what it is. They know what it is, and God will move in those areas. To do all things without murmuring and disputing. Under the Spirit. Now, this he's talking to the church. You know, talking to God's people. And yes, hey, look, we all have a long way to go, but that's okay. At least we're not where we were. Huh? Amen. That we've gone along a little bit here. Thank you, Lord. And honestly, we're further along than what we think. That we've come a long way. Do everything without murmuring and disputing. If we were to ask you to take a sheet of paper and write all the areas of your life that you need or want God to change, surely all of our list would be long. But people, we need to do what God says. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. Murmuring. You know somebody that complains all the time? You can have the perfect weather, there's still something wrong. You can live in the best house upon the earth, and there still would be something wrong. You could have the best doctors in all the world, and there'll still be something wrong. You could have the best plate of food in front of you, and still something would be wrong. See, we should never be like that at all. God says that we should be thankful for all the things that we have, that we don't allow that to come into our hearts and into our lives, to murmur and complain about our jobs. Oh, Lord, thank you. You know, about coworkers, you know, pray for them. Ask God to move. You know, and you know, I'm not talking about not going to your boss because there's something not right. Okay? That's different. You're right in front of him or her, telling them, look, this is wrong. This something's here. You know, hey, look, there's difference with that. But we got to make sure that that spirit doesn't become a part of our hearts and a part of our lives, that we are here to praise and give honor to our God. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ's return. Wow. It says this, that he, be confident. It doesn't say just, okay, look, the day you got saved was one of the greatest days in history. You know, the world may not recognize it, but let me tell you, God recognizes it. And he says, hey, church, hey, and put your name in there. Be confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you or in us will perform it until the day of Christ's return. That means he will not stop working. He will not leave you. People, how you don't know how many Christians I've talked to that they worry about, you know, whenever something comes around their life, you know, that's not good. They, well, you know, I don't think God's with me anymore. Well, God says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. What do we believe? Do we believe the word or do we not believe the word? And hey, let me tell you, you can believe, it's easier, excuse me, to believe when everything's going great, huh? It's when it's down, when you're down and out. But let me tell you, God wants to get us to the place where we believe him when we're high and flying high, or we're down and out in the dumps. That we believe him no matter what. That he's with us no matter what. Just as the prophet Elijah, as the crows and stuff would come and feed him, God was with him. God's always with us, people, no matter what. No matter what happens in our hearts, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what happens at home, no matter what happens upon the job, that God is with you no matter what. No matter how physically we feel, God is with us. And he will not abandon us. Get that word in your heart and in your spirit that he will never abandon you. What he started, he will finish. What he started, he will finish. He will not let the house go unfinished. But he will finish it. No matter what goes on, people, we have to be confident that he's going to work to the day of his return, or to the day that we close our eyes and meet him in heaven. We don't have to be afraid that he will abandon us, but the Spirit of God will constantly work in us because we are children of the living God, and there's nothing like our God that will do what he says he will do. We can be confident in his word and in him no matter what. Jesus is our God. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Savior. As we trust our God, he will do whatever it takes to keep us along and to keep working in our hearts and in our lives. That's the kind of God we serve. Don't ever give up on someone. Don't ever give up on yourself. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'll never overcome this thing. Let me tell you, with God, all things are possible. And the devil wants you to give up because he does not want you to live for God. He does not want that. He wants you to sway to the left or sway to the right. But let me tell you this, we won't sway anyway. We'll go in the straight and narrow path and do what God has called us to do, to preach the gospel uncompromisingly. I was looking up a church site. This threw me, people, to the max. I was looking up a church site, and they had their calendar. And in their calendar, they had LGBTQ. I could not believe it. In the church calendar? I haven't called the pastor. I don't know if I will. I don't know. I mean, to me, he would know. I could not believe. You know, that's homosexual, gay rights. You know, that's this month, the rainbow stuff. The God that promised us that even though it's raining, that he would never flood the whole earth. They took the promise of God and moved it towards a homosexual agenda to destroy God's word. I hate that. Not the people, but I hate their agenda to destroy boys and girls and adult men and adult women, to destroy the lifestyle that God has placed from the beginning of time and pervert it. That I hate. Not the people, but their agenda. And to see a church let that go on their calendar, not good. Might as well write Ichabod, my Lord, huh? We don't want that. We want the Spirit of God, people. We got to stand for what. Hey, look. But we got to love, too. God so loved the world. Love, but stand for truth. Some people will think you're hating them, and then they don't really know you're the one that loves them the most, because you're able to stand for the truth of the gospel. Luke chapter 22, please. Luke chapter 22. Hallelujah to the King. A great move of God is happening upon the earth and the world, people. I'm telling you. It says in the last days that God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And let me tell you, just as God is pouring out His Spirit, the enemy is trying to pour out his Spirit too. And yet they might be a little louder, but let me tell you, God has the last hand in hand. He is the one in charge. God says in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit like not known unto man. We're looking forward to it. We're in the middle of it. And let me tell you, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. You might say, how do you get ready? Keep your heart right with God. Keep praying for your family members that they will get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, that God would move upon them. We need a mighty move of God like we've never seen before. Like we've never seen before. And God will do it as we trust in Him. As we trust, God will only go to places where He's invited to. God will only go to places where He is wanted. And He will overlook those that don't want Him. Luke chapter 22, look at verse 54. It says, Then took they him and fed, led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, earnestly looking upon him, and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you are also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. The second time. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what you say. And immediately, while he was yet spoke, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the rooster crows, you shall deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept him. Peter was a guy with a big ego. Big. He said, I don't know about the rest of these yo-yos here, the other 11, but I know me, I will never deny God. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said it. But that's okay. I know we're snared by our words sometimes, but that's okay. The Spirit of God can work. It says that Jesus turned and said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And I'm sure Peter looked at Jesus and said, there's no way. And hey, honestly, Peter loved God, loved Jesus. I'm not, downplaying his love for Jesus. But sometimes we don't know sometimes what's in us. The Holy Spirit knows. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one that works. And we got to allow the Spirit. You see, he didn't think that he would deny Jesus three times, one time, but that he would stand strong. So the opportunity came when he was around these young ladies, young maidens. Yeah, isn't he one of the Galileans? You look like one of them. Kind of talk like one of them. Maybe smell like one of them. I don't know. No. And it comes down to three times denying Jesus. Three times. I don't know him. I don't. And then in the end, the last time, vehemently speaking with harsh words, saying, I don't know him. And it says the rooster crowed, and the Spirit of God was working. And it says he ran off and repented, because it says he cried. That's repentance. He cried. He said, Lord, I didn't think that was in me. And in Matthew, about the same story told by Peter, the comment says that every time Peter heard a rooster crow, it says that he would just cry. See, when God does a work, God does a work. Now, you go beyond that and you see how Peter stood up for the things of God and did what God wanted him to do. You see, God, we don't realize why God will allow this or that to happen. But always be in mind that God is in control and that he has your heart at his best interests. You see, your heart and the condition of your heart, I'm not talking about the physical part, but where God lives is what he's interested in. The condition of it. Where is it? How is it being played out? The condition of our hearts. And he knew that Peter would deny him. But let me tell you that for years to the day he died, if he heard a rooster crow, it says that he would just weep, because he knew it went back to what he did. But also it went back to the mercy of God. You see, we don't realize that God is working, but God has mercy while he works. That's the difference with our God. As he works on our hearts and our attitudes and murmuring, complaining, and all that stuff, whatever it is that he needs to work on, that as he works, he has mercy and grace upon us, helping us to overcome those things as we look to the cross of Calvary and look to see what he did in overcoming all things, as it says when he says, it is finished. The power of Almighty God, letting God. How many times have we been to a place and we're talking about something and the Spirit of God says, be quiet. Sometimes we obeyed. Sometimes we didn't. And after the whole situation was over and we didn't obey, how did we feel? The Spirit of God moving and letting. See, our God loves His people. And He has our best interests at heart. For we are in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Workmanship. Workmanship. The same Holy Spirit that spurred you on and got you to a place to accept Him as Lord and Savior is the same Holy Spirit that cleanses us up and works in us. My God. What a God. What a God. Praise God for His mercy and His grace upon us. Praise God for what He can do in us and through us. Let God continue to work, people. Have mercy for your fellow brother or sister. Hey, I don't understand some decisions that people make. I'll be honest. Probably you too. Everybody in here. You look at whatever and you think, I don't understand that, you know. But as a pastor, there's some decisions I don't understand why people make or do. But you see, that's where we let God work and do the things that need to be done. Because He knows what's best for each and every one of us. He knows the mercy and the grace that I need. And He knows the mercy and grace that you need. So we allow the Spirit of God to work of His good pleasure, doing what we need to do and letting God be God in whatever capacity, whatever way that He needs to be. Stay on the surgery table. Let God work. Honestly, we'll be there to the day He comes for us or the day we die. And then we know His work is complete. As it says, when He comes, He's going to split those eastern skies. Corruption will put on incorruption. My God. We're going to be changed. Can you imagine a new wardrobe in the middle of the air? Can you imagine? Or coming out the I almost said the coffin. Maybe some may come out that core. Can you imagine? Oh, I'd love to be one of them. Come out that coffin. And while y'all all there, open my eyes. We all go up together. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, just the power of our God, people. Amen. Letting God be God and letting God move upon us. Let that good work take full effect in us. Look, before I stop, there isn't anything that God can't help you overcome. It's all been paid. And it's been paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross. The shackles have been broken off of the hands of God's people. The shackles upon the legs have been broken by the power of God. And all I have to do is trust in what Jesus did, and the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is unleashed upon me and upon you to live a life that is pleasing. Some people are tormented in their minds. God has a remedy for that too, His Word. Think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report. My God. Okay, Lord. And letting the Spirit of God move. He can heal whatever needs to be healed. Amen. And help in every area that needs to be helped by the power of our God. Yes. We are a powerful church. Yes. Led by King Jehovah. Yes. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A powerful church led by the Spirit of God. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And we want to do what God wants us to do. Praise God. You may stand, please. Amen. I just pray something I said or spoke just helped you in your walk to the Lord, because you are the most important thing here. Amen. If everyone would just bow their heads for just a minute, if you don't mind, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? All those that are watching by Facebook and YouTube, have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? If you have not done so, let's pray this prayer together. Please repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's watching by Facebook or YouTube, find a church to go to. Find a church. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you, and we love you. And I pray you have a great week this week. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, next Sunday, come ready to eat. We have a lot of food.